We've now come to the observance of the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper was given to the church by the Lord Jesus Christ on the night that he was betrayed, and he gave it as a perpetual reminder of the full atonement that he accomplished for his people on the cross and as a joyful anticipation of the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will commence at his second coming. The Lord's Supper is a church ordinance, and it's to be administered under the local church's authority by her officers, and we invite you to partake of this ordinance with us this morning if you are qualified to do so. There are four qualifications which are outlined in your orders of worship, and they are, firstly, you must be a regenerate and baptized disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, you must be an active member in good standing of a gospel-preaching Protestant church. Thirdly, you must not be under the formal discipline or censure of this or any other local church. And fourth and finally, you must examine yourself and confess your sins so as to have a conscience void of offense before God and men. Well, the Lord's Supper includes two outward elements, the bread and the cup. And the bread and the cup are emblems, they're symbols of the Lord's death. So as it were, in the Lord's Supper, we have Christ set before us as the Lamb who was slain. In the Lord's Supper, we see the King of Kings broken and bleeding. We see the Lord of Lords hanging on the tree. We see the Son of God forsaken by God. As such, there is a certain solemnity, a certain seriousness that accompanies the Lord's Supper. And it would be completely inappropriate for us to approach the table in a hurried manner or in a lighthearted manner. We dare not partake of this meal without considering the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ was pierced, why he was crushed, why he was oppressed and afflicted. And the scriptures tell us why. Isaiah 53, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Our transgressions, our iniquities, our sins. Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. God forbid we approach the table while still embracing the very sins that required Christ's broken body and shed blood. God forbid we approach the table trying to hold in one hand the bread and the cup, and trying to hold in the other hand the sins that required the body and the blood of our Lord. Thus God commands us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Brothers and sisters, self-examination is part of the Christian life. We are to regularly examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, to honestly assess if we are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith. But there are particular times and occasions where self-examination is more especially needed, and the Lord's Supper is one of those times. So we must examine ourselves and confess our sins to the Lord before approaching the table. But you must understand that your self-examination is not to be a legal self-examination or a self-righteous examination. Your self-examination does not, will not, and cannot make you worthy to partake of this meal. Your self-examination, in other words, cannot make you perfect, no matter how hard you try. But there's good news, because something else, if you are in Christ, has made you perfect. Something else has perfected you. We read this in Hebrews chapter 10. "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Believer in Jesus, the sacrifice of Christ has perfected you for all time. He has earned for you a perfect standing before God. Despite the ongoing work of sanctification that is happening in your life, you have been perfected by the single offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it relates to the Lord's table, the single sacrifice of Christ for your sins, it's what keeps your self-examination from becoming self-righteous on one hand, and on the other hand, becoming self-condemning. It cannot be self-righteous because Christ's single offering has perfected you for all time. There's nothing that your self-examination can add to his finished work. There's nothing for you to boast in besides his single offering. But you're also kept from self-condemnation because Christ's single offering has perfected you for all time. His single offering has been applied to you. There's nothing for you to fear because Christ bore in his body on the tree your sins. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So examine ourselves, we must. But we must do so while remembering Christ's single offering, which has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So with these things in view, let us pause, let us examine ourselves before the Lord, and confess our sins to him. Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our sins against you are so great that we do not have time today to enumerate all of them before you. And Lord, we confess that we're not even conscious of the number of our transgressions, nor the depth of our iniquity. And yet we humble ourselves before you. We confess our known sins to you, and we purpose, O Lord, by the power of your Spirit, as we just heard preached to us, to turn from our sins and to walk in new obedience according to your eternal law, to live in a way that is pleasing to you, O Lord. We plead your promise this morning that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you are just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we approach the table of our Lord, have us do so with hearts full of thankfulness. Lord, you have already fed our souls this morning with your word. We thank you for it. We pray now that by partaking in this meal, that our souls might feed upon Christ crucified, that the benefits of his death and of his resurrection, that those benefits might strengthen us spiritually, just as the outward elements strengthen us physically. Oh God, thank you for this meal. Thank you for the single offering of Christ for our sins that it points to. In Jesus' name, amen.